Reflections from Torch Trust, focusing on Christian faith and sight loss.
Hello, and a warm welcome to Reflections from Torch Trust, the show that focuses on faith and disability in today's world. I'm your host, Marilyn Baker, and we're so happy to be with you today. Well, I want to talk about something today that absolutely amazes me. I found it true for my own life. And also, I want to tell you a story. It's all about God's character, the way he thinks, which is so opposite to human beings, all about his amazing love, patience, and forgiveness. We read a lot about judgment, don't we, especially in the Old Testament. But Jesus made it clear that he sent his Son into the world not to condemn it, but to rescue it, and that it would be his goodness, his kindness, that would lead people to repentance, to change their hearts. That's in Romans. Listen to what Jesus actually said about his Father in heaven. Luke 6:35. First, it talks about us. He's already told us that we need to pray for those who persecute us. He goes on, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. I heard of a Bible teacher who is very much into the prophetic, and he tells this story because there was a minister near to where he lived who really hated him and regularly called him a heretic and definitely tried to poison his reputation. But instead of the Bible's teacher reputation going down, the minister's congregation began to decrease dramatically until he was struggling to make ends meet. Now, the Bible teacher's friends said, well, that serves him right. He deserves to do badly. It's judgment on him. But this teacher said to them that God didn't want this man to fail, and that they all needed to pray for God's help and blessing over him. The teacher even gave money by putting it secretly through the minister's letterbox to help him. Then one day a tragedy struck. The minister's 14-year-old daughter had an accident and went into a coma. And the Bible teacher went to the hospital to pray for her. But the minister, who was sitting at her bedside, didn't want him there and refused to pray with him. So the teacher said, well, I'll go and pray outside then. And he went into the corridor and started to ask God to bring her out of the coma. And after a while, the minister came out too, in tears, and admitted he had no idea how to pray. So they did end up praying together. And through their prayers, God did a wonderful thing. The minister's daughter came out of the coma and recovered completely. I don't know the total end of the story, but I'm sure the minister's heart was softened. God didn't use judgment to change him. It was love and God's goodness that brought him to that new realization, that new place. It's hard to be generous and kind and to pray for those who seem difficult or even against us. But God wants us at all times to show his goodness and love to all. And we need to let him do the judging. Matthew 5:16 says this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you send your sunshine to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. We want to be like you, Lord, ready to see the opportunities you set before us, ready to see gold in people, and ready to think outside of the box. We ask you will help us to always carry your heart of love as we go around our everyday. Amen. And now here's a song that talks about how amazed we can be about God's kindness and forgiveness. It's called Constantly Amazed.
I'm constantly amazed at what Jesus has done to bring such great forgiveness.
You're listening to Reflections. And now it's time to carry on our exploration of Lent and the lead up to Easter with our next extract from Torch Together Lent, a series of virtual talks and discussions which are happening every week until Easter. Here's the next one now.
The reflection for our fourth encounter is written by Dr. Ife Akintunde and is read by Hayden Everill.
In 2023, it seems cruel that people would watch a man die and mock him. However, about 150 years ago, people in the UK were watching public hangings. So it's not so difficult to imagine that in first century Judea, people would gather for a public execution and mock. This would have been a festive occasion, a celebration added to the Passover feast. But who was being mocked and insulted here? He, who only a few days before had been healing people in Jerusalem. Just that week, the crowds had been hailing him king, and now he was there with that criminal. They were both enduring the same punishment. Why was the criminal mocking as well? Maybe it was out of frustration. He knew he would die, and there was nothing he could do about it. At Jesus' birth, the angel had told Mary, "For nothing is impossible with God," Luke chapter 2, verse 37. Jesus himself had said that he could have commanded legions to save him from the cross. Yet, difficult as the cup was, Jesus chose the way of the cross. "Not my will, but yours be done." There is a question for us here. If I don't have my way, if I'm going through a tough time, if I don't fully understand what's happening, or when I have to face not being healed, what do I do? Do I just say, "God, you are not strong or even loving enough to help me"? Or do I trust his master plan? I was once asked by a 12-year-old why I'm still a Christian despite being blind. After I gave him the standard answer about trusting and loving God, I went home and asked a few questions of my own. God began to show me what I had learned as a blind man. I had learned about disability in a way I could never have. I'd also learned how to trust him more. Sometimes it is not that God cannot do the impossible. It is that his perfect will for us is that we live through what is happening now. There is a reason. The disciples learned after the resurrection that there was a most wonderful victory in his death. God will also reveal to us at the right time why, if we trust that he knows. The criminal, the scornful crowd, and the soldiers encountered Jesus. None of them fully understood the divine plan of the one whose ways are higher than ours, as high as the heavens are above the earth. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10. Even as they mocked, even as he suffered the torments of the brutal Roman punishment, his response was forgiveness. I don't always know, but I want to trust that he does. I believe that if I ask, he will reveal as much as I need to know. He has a plan which took him through the darkest time anyone could face. When I go through my dark times, I want to trust, not doubt.
Now, let's hear the second part from our virtual Lent course.
Yeah, I really enjoyed listening to that reflection as I was preparing for this afternoon. So if you haven't got the Easter freebie, I recommend rereading Ife's words again and spending some more time thinking about what he's written. But I was trying to think of times in my life when I've had to trust God and maybe been taught by God how to trust him more and to put my trust in him. Quite a number of years ago, I'm trying to think how long ago it was, but yeah, quite a while ago, when I was just finished university, I went out to Australia for a year. I think I might have spoken about some of my experiences in Australia on a Christmas thing that we did a while ago, because I did spend a Christmas out there. But anyway, I was out there to work for a Christian publishers in Sydney. So I was given this incredible opportunity. And the publishers were basically had you know, met with me and said they could find a visa, get a visa for me so that I could be paid while I was there. So the plan was I was going to go out there for a year. I was going to have this special visa that they were, you know, convinced I'd be able to get really easily. I was going to work for them part time and then also do some work for a church in the area where I was living. So all these plans were coming together, and it felt, you know, that God had put me in touch with people, and things seemed to be working out really well, except for one thing, and that was this visa that I was assured would be able to get, and there'd be no problems. And I didn't get rejected on the visa, but it just got stuck in the system. And I waited and waited and waited in the UK, and nothing happened. And in the end, I decided, well, you know, I was sort of waiting, and it was kind of be a planned kind of gap year away. So I thought, no, I'm going to go anyway. I know I haven't got a visa, but I can spend some time out there at least, and go and enjoy time out there in Australia as planned. So I decided to go. I didn't quite know how it was going to work, but I decided to go, and I was okay having a visa to visit, you know, as a tourist. So that was okay. But I couldn't work, obviously. So I was out there, and again, I met up with them, and I sort of said, well, you know, I might as well come and do the job. I know you can't pay me, but it's, you know, I still feel that this is where God wants me to be. So I'll just come and volunteer with you while I'm here. So I did that, and I also volunteered at the church. And it was incredible because the church decided to provide me with somewhere to live. So I didn't have to worry about that. I used to get gifts given to me. So I never felt that I was in need at all. There was sometimes I'd get food gifts or some money to help with, transport. And I also had some of my own money that I'd intended to use while I was out there for, you know, doing a bit of traveling around and sightseeing and all that kind of thing. So I never felt that I was in need at all. And I ended up staying there the whole year in that kind of way as basically a volunteer. But it really felt like, you know, God had sort of brought that opportunity to me. But then nobody could understand why this visa wasn't coming through and it didn't, you know, happen. But while I was there, the publishers that I was volunteering with, they were actually going through some really difficult financial problems, which they hadn't said to me about before. But there were quite a number of the staff one day were called in as sort of an emergency meeting, and they were basically made, quite a few staff were made redundant. So that all happened while I was there. And I kind of realized, you know, God knew what was going on. God knew what was happening. And he probably knew that actually this Christian publishers couldn't really afford me. I was there as a gap year student and didn't have incredible experience or expertise or anything. I was there just to, you know, do some odd jobs and stuff around the place. And I knew that I would have felt terrible if I'd have been paid, really, that other people, you know, were being made redundant and, you know, that they couldn't really afford me. And it really felt, you know, God was in control and he knew what he was doing. And there's not often in times in our life when we look back and we can see that although things didn't make sense to us, God knows what he's doing and God has a plan. We don't always see it, but that's one of those occasions when I've had the kind of privilege really of seeing why something was happening the way that it was, even though in a human sense it didn't make any sense. But yeah, it's in those occasions, isn't it, that when we really we need to rely and trust on God, even when we don't understand.
May the blessing of the Lord our God rest upon you day by day. May he keep and guide you every step of the way. And may you know his peace.
that's all we have time for today. But remember, if you'd like more information on anything you've heard on the show, or to leave a comment, question or suggestion, just get in touch by calling 01858 438 260 or emailing info@torchtrust.org. Until next week, from me, Marilyn, and everyone on the Reflections team, goodbye and God bless.
You've been listening to Reflections from Torch Trust.